Explosion Network podcast is never late, nor are they early. They arrive precisely when they're meant to. Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Extended, a Middle-earth podcast from explosionnetwork.com.
Hello and welcome to the Lord of the Rings Extended, a Middle-earth podcast. Today we're here to talk about the season finale of The Rings of Power. I'm Ashley Hobley, and joining me is Kieran Marchant.
I was told that I was an idiot. I was told that I couldn't possibly be right. I was told, Kieran, I've just saved you $100 because I never took that bet with you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So much. I gaslit, girl-bossed, got put into the dumpster in this show. But today I've got something to say. I was right! I was right! And I'm sorry, audio listeners, but this is going to be loud, and this is going to be the truth. Because he's fucking Gandalf! And not only is it fucking Gandalf, that fucking nonce of a king of the south, and it's Sauron! And I said that as well. And I fucking did it. I fucking did it! I have the biggest, smartest brain in the Explosion Network as of right now. And I'm so fucking annoyed. That little weasel, the little worm tongue of our group, as the excuse of COVID to not be here for this recording.
I'll say, you know, maybe you did say that it was Gandalf, but she didn't commit, so, I mean...
You can fuck right off with this nonsense.
Me, on the other hand, have been calling him Gandalf every single episode.
Fucking Dylan
since.
Said the same
so
shit.
I think...
Dylan said the same...
Really, it's me. I was right. I
fucking hate you both. I messaged Dylan because I knew he wasn't going to be on the fucking show, and he said the exact same fucking shit. He was like, man, I don't know what you're on. We've been calling him Gandalf the whole time. I'm like, you fucking pair of twats. You absolute fuckers.
Yeah, so today we're talking about the episode 8, Aloyd. Or Aloyd. Aloyd, it sounds like the right pronunciation. Season 1 finale, New Alliances Are Forged. Yep, the 1 week I host, there's like no description. Okay. Directed by Wayne Chi. Yep, written by Jennifer Hutchinson and J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay. Kieran, what do you think of the season finale of The Rings of Power?
I think the season finale is an interesting way to wrap the show, though. I think overall, I feel fucking vindicated. I feel like I was right, and I had, you know, the moment the show opened and it had that scene and those ladies called the fucking tall men Sauron. I'm like, that's not fucking Sauron. They're fucking wrong, because that would be the shittiest way to call out Sauron. So that is a double bluff.
So you didn't believe it?
No, I didn't believe it for a second. Like, no. As soon as they said it so plainly and so randomly, like out of nowhere, I was like, oh, that's not Gandalf. That's not Sauron, then. That is Gandalf. Like, this show isn't going to do that. You know, I think a lot of interesting things happened in this episode. Am I, like, a little disappointed that I feel like some of the stuff that happened in this episode I wish happened over the course of a season? Am I a little disappointed that the revelation that Halbrand, that's it. That Halbrand was Sauron. Am I a bit annoyed that that happened so quickly? A little bit, yeah. Like, I think it was great to see him interacting with Celebrimbor. I think from my personal connections with the Shadow of Mordor games, it was kind of built that Celebrimbor and Sauron had a much closer relationship and had a much more interlocked and interlined relationship. So to see this version's, the show's version of that be something that kind of happens over a couple scenes in the show and happens...
They just have like an instant connection, which is quite interesting.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I think, you know, it is that instantaneous connection, but at the same time, I wish it had built up and layered a lot more and it had formed a lot more trust between Celebrimbor and Sauron.
I mean, there's still time, right?
No, well, no,
don't they make
so
a bunch more rings?
No, those are the only rings that Celebrimbor makes. Sauron makes the rest of them.
Yeah.
Because Sauron hooks up the human... Sauron makes the human rings because that's how he gets the ring wraiths, because he uses all of their rings to turn them into ring wraiths.
That's right.
So, like, they're the only ones that... And that's why Sauron has not that great a control over the three rings of the elves, if I go off the top of my head. I could be wrong, but I'm really fucking right lately on this show, so you know what? I'm just going to say I'm right. But,
okay.
I think I really loved, even, you know, but saying that, I loved the scene of the revelation of who he was and kind of going through those dream states and seeing Galadriel's kind of headspace and the potential and possibility of her ruling over. And there's always this darkness to Galadriel, so it's really nice to further investigate and dive into that. And I think it makes a really interesting thing for future seasons of Rings of Power that she has such an interesting relationship with Sauron now. Like, I guess they're two characters that we don't know all that much of in terms of when you get to it, Lord of the Rings, because Galadriel is very secluded and restricts herself a lot because she doesn't want to be influenced by the darkness that is Sauron. But now we know there's a lot more there between the characters. Am I interested more in more information about, you know, how did Sauron end up on that raft? Did he fall from the sky? What exactly happened and took place for him? Yes, 100%. I'm interested in the fact, you know, we ended on that snippet of him looking menacingly almost at Mount Doom and making his journey towards it, which symbolizes, you know, that is the place where he goes to kind of forge everything and to forge the One Ring. And I'm super excited. I think this show is great. Once again, I feel like this show maybe had to rush a bit to get to the Rings of Power to kind of justify its name a little bit more. Like, I feel like it almost rushed to get there in this episode. But no, I love this. I loved all of the scenes with Durin and with Elrond. I adore this show and I really enjoy everything to do with it, and the very different and interesting layers to all the plots that are going on, and I'm excited for what we have moving forward in Rings of Power.
Yeah, I enjoyed the episode as well. I was a bit put off when this was like 75 minutes as soon as you open up the Prime Video app is the length. But it went by very quickly. I feel like it wrapped up the season in a good way and built, obviously left it very open for what will happen in season two. I'm sure there's going to be a season two. It's like one of the biggest shows of the year.
Definitely.
And they've already thrown so much money at it. I think they'll happily just throw a bunch more. I think, you know, it is interesting. It's like a few characters that we don't like go back to. Mainly Arendur and what's her face? of the Southlands.
I think we don't need to go back to them because
they're
off.
It's like, hey, we're rebuilding.
No. The thing is, so they're off to make Gondor.
Okay.
So the location described when they were talking about where they were heading to and the lands and like the river position, that is Gondor / I can't remember that city that is on the riverbanks that gets attacked in Return of the King where Faramir fucks up. I can't remember, but it's that kind of area. It's Gondor's area. Like, they are going to found Gondor and found the area around there. So I guess that is kind of the stamp of the finishing piece for their story for this episode.
Their future, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we touched on all the beats that we kind of needed to. I enjoyed... I liked the Galadriel Halbrand reveal. I think... it's interesting that Galadriel just suddenly clicked and, like, got super suspicious. I think that was the only thing.
Yes.
It's like, after all this time, after everything they've gone through together.
That was my only thing, that's why I
suddenly wish... she gets very suspicious.
Yeah, that's why I wish there was a little bit more build to it and time for it to happen. Just so, you know, there's maybe... you know, there could have been a whole period of his time in with the elves and him excelling within the like the ring forging process and working with Celebrimbor that would make Galadriel be like, wait a fucking second, what's going on here?
I think you're 100% right. The show, they had to get to the Rings of Power.
Yeah.
To justify the name. It would have been, you could easily see the headlines like, no Rings of Power in the Rings of Power. Like, where are all the rings?
I think the thing is, right, I think that far, instead of ending the way they did, and maybe this is doesn't fit, maybe the plans that they've gone to season two that we don't know don't really fit this method, but it would have been really cool and interesting way if in all this episode they failed. They have got this crown problem that they're like, we can't make this crown. And then if the ending scene was the revelation that between Celebrimbor and Hellbrand that no, we need to make rings. And that is that conversation and his expertise and his confidence about the rings is the spark that led Galadriel to start looking into Hellbrand and trying to find out what the fuck happened and who is he. Like, I think if that had happened and that had been the final scene for them, I think personally I would have been like, yes, that's very cool, that's very nice. We still have the Gandalf reveal at the end of this episode. We still have the, wait, you're... look, okay, it's not definitely Gandalf, but it seems to be most likely Gandalf.
It could be Saruman.
No, I don't think it makes sense to be Saruman.
It could be... what's his face?
No.
Old nature of these.
Okay, I'm not even gonna fucking... not even gonna accept
it's
that.
It's probably Gandalf, but...
but even just to have it and just to have that revelation of, no, okay, we faked you out, this isn't Sauron, and then to still have the question going into season two is, where is Sauron, who is Sauron? And still have that question kind of lingering a little bit more.
Hmm.
And build to it and build to it and build to it. I think, you know, we are in very much sadly in a way that TV and movies rush payoffs a little bit too much because they're worried about audiences not being able to stick around to it. And yes, Rings of Power already had comments and problems from audiences saying, oh, it's taking a bit too long to get places. It's taking, like, especially in those early episodes, there was this show's a lot of talking. This show's a lot of in-depth kind of dialogue. And you're like, for me, love it. But maybe for the general audience and the general public, not great. Maybe that's why, and that's why they had to rush it through. It's not something that's ruined the show for me. I still love it. I still love that ending. I just think it could be done a bit better.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's fine. I enjoyed it. You know, the rings are very pretty. Like, they you know, made them look fantastic. They really made that mithril go all the way. Like,
well, they
made use of all that mithril. Yeah,
they did. They melted it.
That whole ring making sequence was beautiful
to
watch.
Really beautiful. Really well done.
It's like, do I need to, like, look into how they make rings more?
Even just...
because it was like the whole bands thing, and then they obviously were slowly bending them in.
Even just like the scenes of... like, I think this show from start to finish has been a beautifully shot show. Even the scene that got me was actually the scene of Galadriel and Hellbrand on the raft. And just like the camera angles and viewpoints of Galadriel and like... the view of her eyes and then the view into Hellbrand's eyes and stuff like that. I'm like, I don't know why. And you know, you're supposed to feel these things about Galadriel because it is her myth and legend that she is the most beautiful elf and powerful elf in the history of it in a long run with, like, you know, how Gimli reacts to her. And I think in that shot, it captures that. I sat there going, fuck, she is stunning. Like, she is absolutely beautiful in these shots.
Yeah.
And I think this show does a really good job of capturing all that in every scene.
Yeah, that whole dreamsay sequence is perfectly put together, whether it was like her with her brother, and like, obviously it's been so long since that first episode, when he says, remember what I whispered in your ear under this tree?
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that what he said? It definitely felt wrong, right?
Yes. Like, it felt wrong, and it felt like even all the stuff about, I went there to find peace, and I found out that Sauron also wants to find peace, and that's also why he's doing it. And you go, wait a minute, this is some...
This doesn't seem right.
This
yeah.
is not right.
It's
this
like,
is not okay.
Yeah, it was kind of fucking with your head.
Yeah, 100%.
The whole time. Yeah, and the cunning, obviously, to the raft. That was beautiful, like in the middle of nowhere. And then, you know, leaving her drowning in the river.
Yeah.
It's pretty messed up.
Yeah, 100%.
What story do you want to talk about next? Do you want to hit more on Gandalf?
Where did your heart take you?
Well, I feel let's talk about the Numenoreans.
Okay.
It's the king's dying.
King's dead.
He was dying during the episode.
The captain's
daughter is painting sketching his picture for like
a building or a monument
making monuments and that. And he says a whole bunch of gibberish.
Yes.
A bunch of prophecy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Going up to the
viewing
sphere
stone.
Thing.
Yeah.
The viewing stone.
Yeah.
So we assume she went up there and saw a bunch of shit that, you know, we don't know yet. But, yeah, obviously the Numenoreans, going back to Numenor, the king is dead. It leaves it an interesting point. Obviously the queen dealing with her blindness.
Yes.
Like, practicing and like walking while she's blind.
Did
practicing how many steps it would take.
A quick the scene where the queen goes blind and the blind bit. There's no confirming that Isildur is dead, right? Like
no.
Yeah, there's no confirmation.
You don't think he's dead either, right?
No, I don't, because afterwards when they're
there
talking
was no
about
body.
It, when they were talking about it, I'm like, I was like, fuck, did I just get like, did I zone out and zonk out for a scene and just miss him dying? Or...
Well, I mean, a building did collapse on him.
Yes.
But there was no body.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the sign of the
and
horse...
And his horse ran away.
Yes, the horse went to find him. Interesting that
went
horse
to go
is
pick
the,
up the pieces and...
That horse is the same chestnut color as Aragorn's horse from Lord of the Rings. Like, it's a very similar horse, and that horse has a lot of personality as well. So, it's probably nothing, but it's a very interesting design choice for the character. I think the Numenoreans, I think next season we're going to get a... there'll be some kind of political fallout from the king's death.
That governor dude.
Yeah.
Definitely looks like he's going to scheme in for power.
Yes, 100%.
You know what I
mean? Yeah,
no. He's definitely going to try to take over.
Yeah, I think he is going to try and take over and overthrow the monarchy. And the queen is going to fight through her blindness to keep being like, no, even though we lost people and some real bad shit happened over there, that's not a we need to run away and hide. That's a call to battle, call to arms that we need to get our shit together and move.
What are we making all these swords for if we're not going to fight?
Exactly. 100%. I think it's very much the case of, that'll be the center of the Numenorean storyline next season, next year, whenever we get it.
3 years time.
Yeah,
it is a fascinating element. I don't think it was the most exciting part of this episode, but,
No, I think they...
It was nice.
I think the most interesting part for me was... And I, terrible with names. Isildur's father, I think, is the interesting part of it. Like, his reaction when the queen was giving her kind of... her statement to Galadriel that, hey, we're going to come back and we're going to fight this. After he had just been like, no, we're leaving this place and never coming back. And him dealing with what he believes is Isildur's death. And the death of those that he cares about, and you know the stuff that his daughter is now entangled with. I'm excited to see his storyline at least the most out of the Numenorean stuff at the moment.
Then obviously we head over to the Harfoots and old Gandalf. Gandalf gets cornered by the what are they called?
The three Viking ladies. Are scary as fuck. I don't know exactly.
They are scary
what
as fuck. One's a shapeshifter. That's all messed up. With the, they're like ring wraiths, right? Kind of. when they get banished.
I think
they
kind of look more, like. That was more just the style of it when they were turned into that kind of creature before death.
Yeah, but obviously, yeah, they start the episode with the mindfuck of, hey, this is Sauron. Lord, we're going to twist you to our ways. I was on board. I was like, okay, I guess.
As soon as they were like that, I was like, no, this is way too easy. This is way too simple. This is way too giving the fans the easy, straightforward answer, and I don't believe it, and I won't accept it. I think.
And then it turned out they were wrong.
I think it would.
They made a mistake. They messed up.
I think, from a writing perspective, actually, yeah. We got the wrong one. That's really funny. I did laugh at that, but. I think, from a writing standpoint, it would have been a really bad message to send to an audience if you had this character teaming up with his half-foot and this half-foot giving him this speech of, hey, whatever's in your past, it doesn't matter. You can be a better person now. If he really was Sauron, we then know
was
that...
Was the Dark Lord, the murderer of so many people.
And also, we know what he goes on to from this point.
Yeah.
It would be like, oh, lol jokes, that sentiment doesn't fucking matter. You're always bad. Bad, 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 bad. Like, it would have been a really weird choice to make. So, no, to see him come through as Gandalf and a much more raw and powerful Gandalf in many ways.
He doesn't, like, dilute his powers until he's holding that staff.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know, that was probably the most foreshadowing moment as to, hey, it's Gandalf.
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as he got a staff, he was like, yep, this is...
Yep, I know how to use this. And man, he is very eloquent at the end of the episode.
Which is great.
I'm pretty excited about, you know, after all the, you know, mumblings. First half, not that there's anything wrong with mumbling, but, you know, I'm excited for, you know, inspirational speeches and, like, witty remarks and that kind of stuff. I'm excited that, you know, Nori's going along for the ride as well. I love their little talk about the difference between journeys and adventures. That was cool. I really enjoyed that.
And I think this is the... I can't remember exactly what it is. I should have looked it up before the show, before we recorded. The line about... the line up from her saying, oh, as soon as... Now it's my time to leave... My feet have turned to lead and I don't know where to go. And that just rings out to Frodo. To Frodo leaving Rivendell.
Bilbo.
Leaving Rivendell and him saying that to Gandalf and being like, I don't know where to go, and Gandalf has to kind of point him in the right direction. And it's just, I think it's so amazing and so beautiful that we get this ongoing theme for Gandalf, that his life really is so tied to what would become the hobbits and how much of the hobbits in his life. And it kind of then puts a reflection on not just the Hobbit, the book, but also Lord of the Rings, where Gandalf has this fascination with the hobbits, how they, even though they are so humble and so wholesome and so unwilling to go on adventure, so many unique hobbits come out that end up in the biggest adventures of them all. And to see that now is something really exciting. And I'm really looking forward to their adventure next season. Like, it's,
maybe he just likes to have them around because they're good luck.
Potentially.
It's like, I've been successful every time I've had a hobbit on an adventure. So.
Yeah, and it could just be a thing of, it's a hobbit saved him when he first landed on Middle Earth. And he...
loves hobbits now.
Yeah, it's he half-foots, owes his whatever. Life to hobbits / halfwits and goes there for the whole time. I think it's really fun and really how exciting.
How do we feel about Sarek's death?
Poor Lenny Henry.
You
know what? I think a couple of things. There was one thing that annoyed me, or I felt really fucking was. Not annoyed me in terms of bad writing or bad with the show, but just like characters annoying me, which means it's great writing. But it was him being like, hey, let's go ask him to fix everything. Gandalf goes to fix stuff. It fucks up. Somebody almost gets squished by a branch. And then all of the hobbits or the halfwits are looking at him like, you monster. Especially, like, turns to Sarek and, it turns to Sarek and Sarek's also looking at him like, I'm like, you motherfuckers wanted him to do this. You asked him to help you. And you can't be pissed when he fucks up. You know he has a weird track record with magic.
And then you don't even ask if you could help. Yeah. Do you have any healing magic?
Yeah, it's. But the thing is, I think he.
He was content. Yeah.
Not even just content, but I think they knew that. Like, it was like the same as why they didn't heal the father's broken foot or twisted ankle or whatever it was. Like, it just doesn't have that magic. And that's.
Healing magic isn't a thing in the.
I think. Yeah, healing magic is a weird one because healing magic kind of. Takes away a lot of suspense because anytime somebody gets stabbed or shot with an arrow, you kind of
just get healed.
Yeah, they can just get healed with the magic. That's fine. It's too easy. But that scene of him saying, "No, there's nothing we can do. I'd like just to sit and watch the sun rise together."
Yeah,
I think that was beautiful. And on top of that, you know. This person throughout the entire show is all about and represents the half-foot way of life, which is leaving people behind.
The traditional way, yeah.
Of the tradition of the means of the greater overshadowed the means of the few. And he, in his death, and even before that, in the choice to go and help Gandalf and go save Gandalf, it was the choice of no one gets left behind. And I think that is a ever-changing viewpoint for the Half-Foots / the Hobbits going forward. Like, I really love his part and his death. And you know what? The Hobbits, for me, have been the weakest part of the show. To the point where there is episodes without them, which I'm like, man, these episodes are really good. And I don't really need the Half-Foots and Gandalf showing up. But I think in this episode, other than the Sauron stuff, this was my favorite stuff. Like, this felt important. Yep. This felt like everything comes together that they were building. I think it was exciting.
Man, I teared up during the goodbye as well. So
very much so.
You know, the best friend. You know, you thought you was going to leave her in the lurch, and then she comes back. Beautiful. And her dad as well.
Her dad's
and the life lessons she learned.
Yep.
Make sure you don't
squat upstream because you never know when you need a drink downstream.
Important lesson.
It is. It's a very important lesson. But then I think it's and then that moment with Gandalf of everybody's waving to you. I don't think I can turn it. If I turn back and look at them, I know I'll never leave. And just how delicately. You know what? That moment is how it's Gandalf. That whole moment, that whole final conversation with the two of them, just screams Gandalf. Just screams his loving and caring nature for creatures to be like, why don't you lead the way then? And you know, follow your nose. I think this is all. Yeah, I would be almost disappointed now if it. You know, I would almost be like so disappointed if somewhere along the line, like, oh no, it's not Gandalf, it's some other guy. And you're like, oh, what the fuck. One thing we haven't mentioned, and this was the other point where I, you know what, actually, I already knew I was fucking right. Because we got the Sauron bit at the start, and I was like, all right, that narrows it down to two things. It could either be this is Gandalf, or the other
this
theory.
This is Sauron.
No. The third theory that was at the start of, this is somehow the Balrog.
Okay.
This is somehow the Balrog. This is somehow connected to that, and that's what these people are looking for. Blah blah blah. And to have the shot of the Dwarven King telling, like, dropping the leaf through the hole
last week. Yeah.
Was that last week?
Yes.
Fuck. But still, yes.
It's fine.
No, it's fine. Yeah.
Talking about the show as a whole, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. I think seeing that. The shot there, these two episodes have merged into one. I just think it's that's how I knew I was right already.
Yep, that was great. Anything else you want to mention in this episode? I did love the reunion of Elrond and Galadriel, who obviously he shipped her away on a boat
at the start of the season. This Elrond guy, the actor who's playing Elrond.
Yep.
He's going to, you know what, this young man's going to make a career out of playing younger versions of older characters. Hugo Weaving? You know? Of not just Hugo Weaving, but like, because he played young Eddard Stark in the last season of Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, it's, yeah, I really love Elrond as a character and how his portrayal is in this show. So to see his interactions with... Can I actually... One thing, right? Why does the Galadriel turn around to Celebrimbor and Elrond and be like, yo, bros, that was Sauron, motherfuckers. We got a problem. Like, do you think it's because she's worried if she says that the rings will never get made? And that she believes she needs the rings to be able to defeat stop him and to stop him?
I think that's an element of it. I think it's an element of being embarrassed.
Yeah.
Of being fooled by this person all this time.
Mm-hmm.
And like what, like he says, what will they say if they found out you're my ally? That's a important part as well. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think equal measure of the two things, probably.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. Anything else you would want to discuss before we wrap up this season?
Once again, music's been amazing.
Oh yeah, and the closing, the singing of the
famous, yes,
that was cool.
The poem originally written by J.R.R. Tolkien to explain the forging of all the rings. Yeah. I do.
Setting up next season where we're going to get a bunch of dwarven wings.
Yeah, look, I do hope it is that, and it's not. Hey, we've used this little poem at the end here to skip over all of this and jump ahead in time. I do hope it's the former rather than the latter.
All right. Well, that brings to the end of this episode of Lord of the Rings Extended, a Middle Earth podcast. Let us know what you thought of this episode. What did you think of the first season of Rings of Power by going to explosion.com/Twitter or jump into our Discord at explosion.com/Discord. If you want to help us out here at the Lord of the Rings Extended, leave us a review and have a podcast on Podchaser. Tell people about the show. Leave 5 stars anywhere you can leave 5 stars. Of course, you can check out all of our Explosion Network content over at explosionnetwork.com, including our House of the Dragon podcast, South of King's Landing. You can also check out All New Marvel Cast, in which we talk about everything MCU, including the recently finished She-Hulk. Or you can check out What Do You Want to Watch for all our other TV and movie content. I didn't check how he ends the episodes, but, you know.
Can I end the episode?
Yep, okay.
This goes out. I'm going to end this episode with a final note. And this goes to Dylan Bloat. I hope you're feeling better, buddy. I hope you've listened this far in the show. I hope you're sitting there all comfortable, looking forward to whatever merch I get you in the future for the previous bet. I'd like to end this show and this recording with just one final piece for you, mate. You're welcome. I saved you $100, bitch.